verses 19 to 31. I'm also teaching right now flight school for teachers and preachers. And what I encourage the teachers and preachers to read the Bible. We went over this last Monday night. And you, when you preach or teach the word of God, you preach or teach within context. But you also must match whatever text you're reading against the rest of the Bible. You can't pull. This is what happened to those young ladies, the cult they're in. They take one piece of the Bible and focus all their doctrine and build it off one piece of the Bible, rather than balancing it against the entire Bible. It's one author, the Holy Spirit, who used 40 secretaries. You got it? And so the Holy Ghost knows what he said and he knows what he means. And so it's important that we learn those things. Amen. Enough of that. Luke 16, 19 to 31. When you get there, let's read it together. Ready, read. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, Hades is another word for hell, okay? Being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Nor can those from there pass to us. Verse 27. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. So this rich man was in hell, in a place of torment. And he asked, could you send Lazarus to please come and cool my tongue? And that was not obliged. Verse 27 and 28 is where I take my theme from. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. My subject today is this, Lord, don't let my family go to hell. Will you say that, Lord? Don't let my family. I want you to say it and have people on your mind this time. Lord, don't let my family go to hell. We give praise to God for the word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seats. Thank you, guys. Many of us find it easier on a day like this to get friends and strangers to hang out with us than we do getting our own family to hang out with us. Am I right about it? The truth is, you're not alone, but Jesus had the same issue. He had the same issue. Y'all make seats. Y'all just squeeze in. Make sure we got seats. We got seats up here. Bring people to the front, wherever you get them in here today. Praise God. Jesus had the same issue with getting family. You remember Jesus, the Bible says that his own brothers did not believe in him. Peter and James and John, all these guys, they followed his ministry. They locked in and they tuned in and they said, hey, where we're going to go? But his own brothers did not believe in him. Because many times it's your own family who you have the hardest time reaching. It's your own family who you have the hardest time getting them to listen to you. That's why many of you found it easier on last week to invite friends than it is on this week to invite family. That's why many of you, when you are in your personal social life, you find it easier to hang out with friends or talk to friends than you do to hang out and talk to sometimes your own family. Jesus said in Mark 6 verse 4, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. Notice this, among his own relatives and in his own house. So he said it's hard to get folk within your own family to have any respect for you. Can I get one witness? Families have all sorts of dysfunctions. Can I get another witness? Families have all sorts of issues. Many people sitting in here and never met your father. Or many of you in here wish you had never met your father. Some of you in here, your mothers abandoned you. Some of you in here, your sisters and your cousins, your brothers have treated you badly. No matter how dysfunctional your family is, at the end of the day, you still love your family. And you don't want anything bad to happen to your family. Say this, say, Lord, don't let my family go to hell. Say it again, Lord, I want you to intercede. Don't let my family go to hell. I don't like them, but don't let them go to hell. I can't deal with them this morning, but don't let them. They did me dirty. I ain't getting no witnesses over here. They did me dirty. But don't let my family go to hell. Last week we looked at a man in Mark 5. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you please to go back and read Mark 5 and listen to that message that we preached last Sunday. We saw in that story where Jesus in Mark 5 arrived at a place called Gadara, and he delivered a man who was there full of demons. The Bible said that man had an unclean spirit. He was living in the graveyard. He was living in the mountains. The Bible said he was crying out and he was cutting himself night and day. This man had a legion of demons in him. He was a maniac, that we call him. He had the whole town on high alert. He had an unclean spirit. The women weren't safe. He had an unclean spirit. The girls weren't safe. He had an unclean spirit. The boys weren't safe. He had an unclean spirit. I said the men weren't safe. He had an unclean spirit. Nobody was safe because this man had an unclean spirit. And when you have an unclean spirit, there's no limit to what you'll do. Y'all better say something here. There's some of you, I don't want you to talk about man. I told you last week, don't judge man. Because all of us have our stories, our testimonies of some things we used to do. Some places we used to go, some people we used to hang out with, some things we thought we'd never do. But because we were overcome by an unclean spirit, we found ourselves in some situations that we ain't testified about yet. We ain't told everybody our whole testimony. We just like to say I was perverted. But we don't tell anybody about the details. The gory, I don't want to hear them either. The gory details about our promiscuity. Got to hold on to some stuff. It's all been washed in the blood of Jesus anyway. So when Jesus delivered this man, the people of the town were shocked to find him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And in Mark 5, verse 17 through 19, we if you recall, the people, when they found him there, remember Jesus had cast the demons out and they went into those pigs and the pigs fell off the cliff? The people in verse 17, they begin to beg Jesus to leave the town. Make it make sense. But in verse 18, we find
that the man who'd been delivered begged Jesus to let him be with him. Hallelujah. But as you know, Jesus didn't allow it. He sent him to go and testify to his friends. Verse 19, Mark 5:19, Jesus said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. That's what God wants from you and me to do, is he don't want us spending all day in the prayer closet. It's all right to go into the prayer closet, but come out and go tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. The Message translation says like this, go and tell your story. Tell your neighbor, you have a story. I know you have a story. I'm looking at you. You ain't always been that cute. You ain't always been that saved. You ain't always been that sedated. You ain't always been that sanctified. I know you have a story. I know you shouting and praising and dancing and rejoicing now, but I know you have a story. And I know you looking at me as your pastor like I've always been saved, but I guarantee you, I have a story. And when I tell people my story, they understand that if God can save me, he can save anybody. And when man went back to tell his friends his story, they understood if Jesus could do this for him, he could do this for anybody. How many of y'all remember when you were living in sin? A few of y'all don't remember. How many of y'all remember you were living in sin? The rest of y'all still in sin, maybe. I don't know, but I used to be in sin. And when Satan has you bound in sin, bound in fear, and bound in shame, it's literally like living through hell. Y'all don't remember, do you? So when Jesus sets you free, you ought to tell everybody what the Lord has done for you. Can you imagine man's testimony, Shante? Can you imagine what man went and said to his friends? I imagine he probably said something like this, you don't know the hell I've been through. I'll tell somebody, you don't know the hell I've been through. I'm looking cute and sanctified, sedated, saved, and filled with the Holy Ghost now, but you know the hell I've been through. You don't know. Matter of fact, you ought to tell somebody next to you, you don't know what it took for me to get here today. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, I wouldn't have been here today. I would have died. I would have been in jail. I would have been in the back alley somewhere. I would have been in somebody's bed that I didn't belong in. I'm looking for some witnesses. I'm looking for some man-mans up in this house today. Do I have any man-mans in the back over there? I don't know. You don't know the hell I've been through. Because when the devil has you, it's like living through hell. In fact, you need to know this, that the devil and demons, they torment people. The Bible said, Acts 10:38, Jesus Christ, he was anointed, and he went about doing good and healed all those who were harassed, who were oppressed by the devil. When the devil has you, he torments you. In Luke 6:18, the Bible said that Jesus, when he went and healed, he healed those who were tormented with unclean spirits. Unclean spirits torment you. When the devil is in your life, when the devil is running your show, when he's the governor of your program, it's tormenting. And people in the world may act like it's fun. They only post the fun on Instagram. They only post the fun on TikTok. But when they're home crying and cutting themselves, they're not posting the torment that they're going through, because the devil is taking them through a living hell. Can I get a witness in here today? Nobody posts all the rough nights. They post the fun they had when they were out. They don't post themselves posed over a toilet, puking up their guts. They don't post themselves in the shower trying to wash off him and her and who did I just lay with. They don't post themselves trying to. They post themselves having fun, but they don't post themselves when they've done lines and shot up heroin and now they can't find their way back to their room. They don't post that. Because in reality, when demons are running your life, it's a living hell.
Do I have any witnesses? Has anybody here survived a living hell? Can I get a witness in here? Anybody been through hell and high water and God blessed you and God saved you and God delivered you? You ought to throw your head back and shout hallelujah. You don't know what I've been through. But when you've lived through the torments of hell, you don't want anybody else to go through it. Especially those who are closest to you. Why would Jesus send this man to go testify to his friends? Because if they're going through hell right now, you want them to know that Jesus and only Jesus can bring them out. You can go to therapists and psychiatrists. You can go shoot up. You can go do whatever you want to do. You can take a vacation every month, but a vacation doesn't fix the hell on the inside. It lets you, in fact, Southwest Airlines got it right. Want to get away? Get away from what? The hell that you're living with. Some of you have been living through hell in your own house, but God says that if you will give him a chance, if you will give your life to Jesus Christ, he'll show you how to get the hell even out of your own house. Can somebody say hallelujah? Mark 5:19 again, man story. Amplified Classic. Listen to what Jesus said in Amplified Classic. He said, go home to your own family and relatives and friends and bring back word to them of how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had sympathy for you and mercy on you. So notice Amplified extends that word friends to include family and relatives and friends. These are probably some of the people. Now, remember this, we're talking about Man-Man in Mark 5. Man-Man was crazy. Everybody say he was crazy. He was having mental episodes. He was, like I said last week, we would have Baker acted Man-Man today. We would have incarcerated Man-Man today. We would have probably institutionalized Man-Man today. So I want you to imagine Man-Man's friends and family and relatives and what they had gone through with Man-Man. These are probably some of the people, his friends and family and relatives, are some of the ones that Man-Man probably cussed out. Just look straight ahead. Some of the ones he probably fought. Some of the ones he probably shamed the most. But if you'll be truthful today, these are the dynamics in dysfunctional and sometimes even what we label as functional families. Y'all better stick with me here. The ones closest to you often treat you the worst. Just look straight ahead. The ones closest to you are sometimes the ones who do you the dirtiest. I know you're here with your family. You ain't talking about them, but there's other family, the other family. But I know none of you have ever even thought of cussing out a family member. None of y'all ever thought about cussing nobody out. Look at you looking all holy. I see y'all looking all holy. You ain't never thought about cussing out no family member. Never ain't. I'm talking about your whole life. I ain't talking about your new save. So I'm talking about your whole life. And some of y'all, since you've been saved, I know you ain't thought about cussing out no family member. I know you've never thought about, never dreamt about, never considered fighting someone, fist fighting. Putting somebody in a headlock and punching them in the nose till they bleed. I know you never thought about, I'm talking about your family, I'm talking about your family. You've never even thought, never even thought about your own family. You wouldn't do that to your family because that's family, that's blood. I never thought about fighting my own cousin, never thought about fighting my own sister, never thought about fighting my own nephew, never thought about fighting, I never thought about fighting my own brother, never thought, never crossed my mind. Somebody shout family, 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 family. And I know for a fact, as I stand in this pulpit,
that you've never, ever told family, they can just go to hell. I look at y'all all sanctified and seated in Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. You ain't never thought about telling your family, you know what? Pastor, you cuss. I'm not cussing. I'm talking about what you said. You've never even thought of it, never crossed your mind. Those, you never even formed that phrase in your mind concerning anyone, let alone your family. You'd never say, you can just go to hell. You never, it would never cross your mind to say that to anybody, especially in your own family. And if you did, surely you didn't mean it. You didn't mean it. You didn't mean that. You just, you might have thought it. You might have slipped and said it, but I know you didn't mean it. Because you couldn't possibly want anybody to go to hell. Come on now. Come on, all you honest saints in here. You couldn't possibly, really, truthfully want anybody to go to hell. Not your worst enemies, not your coworker, let alone your own family. You couldn't possibly want anybody to actually go to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, hell isn't a nice place. Can I talk for a moment? I got to make sure we correct some bad teaching that's in the body of Christ. Bad knowledge that's in the world. Hell is not a state of mind. People want to make hell out to be a state of mind. It's not a real place that you go to. It's just how you feel, because people live through hell on this earth. I agree. People are living through hell on this earth. That's why you hear me say, I wouldn't want to live through hell on earth and then die and go to hell. There are some situations that people live in, it feels like hell. In fact, it is because of hell. Hell is where all sickness comes from. Hell is where all disease comes from. Hell is where all poverty comes from. Hell is where all racism comes from. Hell is where all prejudice comes from. Hell is where all anger and depression and strife. The hell is where it all comes from. So when people are living through that, yes, guess what? You're living through hell, but not the place. Because at the risk of sounding ignorant, it gets worse, sir. I said the risk of sounding ignorant. I'm not ignorant. I'm just telling you how I want to say it. It gets worse, sir. It is an actual place of eternal torment and separation from God. Eternal torment. Eternal torment. I want you to hear Richie Rich in our story. Torment. Eternal torment. And separation from God. The Bible describes hell as a pit of darkness. Utter darkness. So dark that you can't see your own hands, can't see each other. You can hear the screams from the agony and torment of others, but you can't see them. Some of you are afraid of the dark today. You gotta have a TV on, a light on, a flashlight on, something. You go to bed, you gotta, don't turn that light off, you better leave that alone. But when the children of Israel, thank you, Holy Ghost, were in Egypt, one of the plagues that God brought on Egypt was the darkness. The Bible says it was so dark you could feel it. There's a darkness that is so dark, so strong, you can feel it. The Bible says that hell is a place of darkness. Flaming fire. Anybody ever barbecued or grilled or did something and you know how hot that flame gets? It's nothing compared to the flaming fire of hell. A place of eternal suffering for everyone who rejects salvation through Jesus Christ. In Matthew 25, verse 30, Jesus called hell outer darkness. Outer darkness. We could really say utter darkness. Where there will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. And I got to say this because there's a whole generation of people who think that Red Fox and Biggie and Tupac and all the Bernie Mac and all them, they're going to be down partying in hell. And when I die, it's okay if I go to hell because it's going to be one big party. What kind of party do you want to go to where everybody's screaming in agony and pain and writhing in pain and you can hear it, but you can't see it? If in fact Red Fox is in hell, I hope he's not. I don't know anything about his life. He's not having fun. If in fact Tupac is in hell right now, he's not having a party. Because it's a place of utter darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Weeping and gnashing, weeping and gnashing. You gnash your teeth in agony. Matthew 25, verse 41, Jesus spoke of hell as the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. In other words, it's not for you. It's not meant for you to go there. But if you reject salvation through Jesus Christ, you choose to go there. Can I keep going? Revelation 20 verse 10 describes hell as the lake of fire, where the devil, the beast, and the false prophet will be tormented day and night forever and ever. A lake of fire. A lake of fire. Mark 9, 44, Jesus describes this. He said, the worms, you look it up in the Greek, it translates to the word maggots. It's the worms that are used to decompose dead bodies. And he says, their worms do not die, and the fire is not quenched. So can you imagine in hell, this body you have that worms, maggots feed on eternally? One of the biggest things happening in America right now is with the drugs that are out there is this flesh-eating bacteria and these diseases that are being spread. You can try to stop it. But in hell, there's no stopping to what these maggots will do. Hell is nothing to play with. Y'all ain't laughing right now. It's nothing to play with. In fact, hell is such an awful place that even the demons are afraid of it. The demons are afraid of hell. And we want to play with hell on TV and in movies like it's some glamorous place. We act like hell is Disneyland and the devil is Mickey Mouse. The devil wants to trick people in this culture into reducing hell to just a state of mind. And they're trying to convince you that hell does not exist. But ladies and gentlemen, hell is a real place. In fact, Jesus already went there for us. The prophet said that you will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. So Jesus Christ already went into hell and suffered all these things for us. And that's why if we receive him, if we accept him, we don't have to go to hell. Demons are afraid of it, Deke. In Matthew 8, verse 29, it's in fact the same story as we read in Mark 5. With a little more detail, it describes two men who are in that condition. And in Matthew's gospel, the demons begged Jesus. They said, Jesus, have you come here to torment us before the time? So the devil and all the demons understand there is a time when the devil and the demons and the false prophet and the beast and the dragon and so forth, they'll all be thrown into hell. And they said, Jesus, are you here to send us to that place before time? Notice the word they use, torment us. The demons are so afraid of hell that when Jesus was casting the demons out of that man, they said, please send us into those pigs. Don't send us into hell. Don't thank you, Holy Ghost. Don't let us leave this region. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That's a revelation right there. Because they weren't just talking about the region of Gadara. They're talking about this upper region, the land of the living. And the other region is the under region, the lower region of hell is what the Old Testament calls it. Don't send us out of this living region. They were afraid of going to hell. If the devil, if demons are afraid to go to hell, what in hell do you want? Why would you want to go to hell? Why would you play around with hell? I told my wife the other day, we were talking, I said, I remember as a Christian when I first got born again in 1989, Deacon Gershom, we got saved. And I remember being so excited about God. But then as I walked with God a little bit more, I began to get a little more casual. A little more loose. And I developed this thing where I tried to see how close I could get to sin without falling over. And I found I wasn't good. I didn't have good tread on my shoes because the closer I got, the easier it got to slip on into sin. And something in my lightning fast mind one day said, why in the world do you want to play around with your life and take a chance of dying and go to hell when you don't have to? So now what I do, you want to know what I do? I get as far away as I can from sin. So there's no chance of me slipping into hell. Do I have anybody that's with me on that? I want to go to hell. We used to sing a song back in Kojic Church. Y'all gonna believe this is a real song. We used to say, I don't want to go to hell. Hell no. Y'all don't believe that on this sir. I grew up in the Kojic Church. I don't want to go to hell. Hell no. I don't want to go to hell. Hell no. I say no to hell. Do you say no to hell? I say yes to heaven. I say yes to Jesus. I say yes to God. I say yes to the Holy Ghost. I say yes to the Word. I say yes to His commandments. I say yes to living right. I say yes to walking right. I say yes to talking right. But I say hell, hell no. I don't want to go to hell. I wish I had some witnesses back in the back. It might be some hell raisers back in the back. I don't know. I said, I don't want to go to hell. And I'm going to tell my neighbors, I ain't going to hell for you. I ain't going to hell for you. I ain't going to hell for you. Baby, you pretty, but I ain't going to hell for you. You fine, but I ain't going to hell for you. No, 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 no. I can't risk it. I can't. Sin is risky business. I can't risk going to hell. I can't risk going to hell messing up. This isn't about just my reputation. It's about hell. I don't want to go to hell. See, I don't want to go to hell. I'm scared of hell. I'm scared of hell. You scared of hell? Yeah. If the devils are scared of hell, you don't think I'm scared of hell? Well, you ain't got to go to hell, Pastor. I know it. I took care of that. But I ain't finna mess around with it no more. Tell your neighbor, stop playing with hell. Hell is real. Hell is real. My father used to say this. My father was an old Pentecostal preacher. He used to say, hell is too hot. an eternity is just too long. Help me out. Preach your neighbor and say, neighbor, hell is too hot. And eternity is just too long. Find somebody else who look like they need to be saved. Tell them hell is too hot. And eternity is just too long. I think last year we had a sign we had on our marquee out front. It was summertime. You know how summertime in Florida gets. Florida time, it gets hot in Florida. It's baking like you on the stove. It's baking. And people normally say this phrase, I'm not cussing. They say, boy, it's hot as hell. And we put on our sign up front. No, it's not as hell, not hot as hell. So everybody drove by and understood, no, this is not as hot as hell. I can deal with this. I can go to the beach, I can get in the pool, I can drink some red Kool-Aid. I'm gonna come over here. I can drink some purple Kool-Aid. We ain't have no flavors growing up, it's all just colors. We orange Kool-Aid. We got fancy, we had apple Kool-Aid, we got fancy now, but you can cool down from this heat. Luke 16. This hell is the backdrop for our story in Luke 16. Luke 16, the verses that we read, verse 19 to 31, this story is not a parable. It's not a parable, but it's actually a true account of two men who live very different lives, but face the same end. Luke 16, verse 19, the Bible says there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Certain rich man. We read, verse 20, there's a certain beggar named Lazarus. So the moment we get Lazarus's name, we know this is not a parable, but actually a true story. Jesus is giving his onlookers, his audience, a peek into the other region to see how things are when you leave here. And so the Bible says that there was a certain rich man. Why didn't Jesus give this rich man's name the way he gave Lazarus his name? Well, there's an explanation for it. One is in Proverbs 10, verse 7. Proverbs 10, verse 7 says this, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. So once he died, his name didn't matter. He was a wicked man. Secondly, his name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You got to know this here. Philippians 4, verse 3, Revelation 13, 8. Revelation 17, 8 talks about the book of life. Your names must be written in the book of life. What happens here, you got to catch this, ladies and gentlemen. So many people spend their time in this earth trying to make their name great, trying to be somebody important. But here's the reality, that if you're not saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, walking with God, when you die, your name is nothing. Because only those whose names are in the book of life have a name in the afterlife. That means it doesn't matter if your name is Zuckerberg, Bezos, it doesn't matter if your name is Biden, Trump, whatever your name is. In hell, nobody knows or cares about your name. Y'all quiet over in this Baptist church. Nobody gives a flying bum who you are in hell. Because we all in this mess together. The only way your name means something is if you go to heaven with God. Are y'all hearing me? He was wicked. Was it because he was rich? No. Because God has nothing against rich people. Jesus said there was a certain rich man. He didn't say there was a rich man. He said there was a certain. So this particular rich man had an issue.
Because God wants you to be rich. Just hit your neighbor on the thigh. Tell him God wants you to be rich. Proverbs 10:22 says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. And he has no sorrow with it. In fact, you remember in this story, when the rich man looks up, Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom. Abraham, according to Genesis 13, was extremely rich. So Abraham was good. So if riches sent you to hell, Abraham wouldn't have been there. The problem wasn't that the man was rich. The problem was that he wasn't righteous. The problem was this man had no compassion. Look at Luke 16, verse 20 and 21. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his, the rich man's gate. So that means the rich man saw him every time he went in and out of his estate. Verse 21, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. So notice all the Lazarus wanted was a man, his crumbs, just your leftovers. But the indictment against the rich man was he must have been so merciless, so incompassionate, that he wouldn't even share his crumbs. The reason he lifted up his eyes in hell after his death, not because of his money, but because of his heart. You got to get your heart right. Proverbs 28, verse 27 says this: many bad things will happen to the man who shuts his eyes. Y'all don't like this. Many bad things. Y'all better look at this now. This has got to help you the rest of this week. Many bad things will happen to the man who shuts his eyes to the poor. In other words, don't just keep walking over poor folk. Don't stop pretending you don't see them over there. Stop pretending you don't know what's going on in poor people's lives. Because many bad things will happen to the man who shuts his eyes to the poor. So this man, this rich man, ends up in the worst possible situation. Why? Because he shut his eyes to the poor. Look at this, Luke 16, verse 22. Are you with me? So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man, say this, also died. So it was that the beggar died. The rich man also died. So it was that the beggar died. The rich man also died. In other words, here's the point here. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if you're black or white. Doesn't matter if you're young or old. Hebrews 9:27 says this in the Good News Translation. Everyone must die. I know you didn't get excited about that, but it says it's in your Bible, Hebrews 9:27. Everyone, that means the rich man with all of his good medical care, all of his luxuries, remember he fared sumptuously, which meant he ate rich foods, but also the best foods every day. But all of that, he still died. Tell your neighbor, you're going to die one day. You're going to die. Unless Jesus comes first, you're going to die. You're not going to live forever. Unless Jesus comes and you take him with him, you're going to die. Because the Bible says everyone must die once, and after that, be judged by God. Everyone must die. I got a few more minutes. Let me see what time. Oh, they never started my clock. Lord have mercy. I can go all day. Listen to this. James 4, verse 14. In your New King James Version. For what is your life?
Are y'all hearing me today?
For what is your life?
You run 5 miles a day, wonderful. Eat nothing but fruit and vegetables every day, wonderful. Take good care of yourself, wonderful. But what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away.
Wait, Pastor, I'm in the faith church. I believe I'm going to live 120 years. I agree with you. I believe God for you for that. I'm going to believe God for you for 120 years.
But in the course of time and eternity, even 120 years, it's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. A little time. Smokers and vapors ought to get a revelation.
I'm going to say it again. Smokers and vapors ought to get a revelation.
Every time they puff, that judgment is just a puff away. Every puff, and you see the puff go up, and then it vanishes. As you get a revelation, that's how quickly I can pass into judgment.
Luke 16, verse 23 and 24. Look at what it says. And being in torments in Hades, can we say hell?
Hell.
He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried, said, Father, Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Notice here, the rich man is crying out in agony. He's longing for relief from the flames, crying out. Another scripture in Proverbs 21:13 says this. Watch this. This is good. He who shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, catch this, will also cry himself
and not be answered. Some translations say not be heard.
You hear the cries of others and you ignore it.
When you cry, the principle is you'll not be answered.
Here's this rich man, formerly rich man, in hell, crying in agony, writhing in pain, feeling the maggots trying to eat a new hole in him. The flames all around him, the darkness all around him. He's crying, somebody help me, have mercy. And notice, he's asking for Lazarus to just dip the tip of his finger. I don't even need a whole glass. Just if I can just start with just dip the tip of his finger. It's so bad. I know this is bad. I need just dip the tip of his finger in some water and just please cool my tongue. I want you to notice these eternal conditions, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody running and shouting right now, but watch this. Flames in hell. Darkness in hell. Maggots in hell. Torment in hell. Memory in hell. Abraham reminded him, when you were there, you had your good things, and Lazarus had his evil things. First of all, that the rich man looked up and recognized, oh, I remember him. That's Lazarus. Oh, that meant you saw him every day. Wow.
And Jesus said, if you don't do it to the least of these, you've not done it for me. Here's this rich man. And he says, oh, that's, I remember Lazarus. And I remember, we know from the text, he remembers his brothers. He remembers his family. So you'll live in eternity with memories. You remember you came to that church and heard somebody preach the gospel and they invited you to come to know Jesus. And you remember you said, no, not me. It's not my time yet. I'm too young. I've got too much time ahead of me. I got a whole life to live. I don't need all that. I don't need that white man's religion. I don't need the Bible. That's for gullible people. And in eternity, they'll remember that in hell. In eternity of awareness. He was aware of everything going on. Oh, I see Abraham. He's aware. Oh, my. It's hot. I'm burning up. And I still have a tongue. Oh, no, you're not going to have a body. It's just going to be spirit. He still had a tongue. I mean, somehow your body in hell will look just like your body that you had on this earth. He said, cool my tongue. So in awareness of all the things he's going through, I want you to imagine an awareness beyond that of a separation from God. In heaven. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Abraham said to him, son, in your lifetime you receive your good things. Likewise, Lazarus' evil things. Verse 25, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us, everybody say between us.
Between us,
between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Notice that there's a distance, a space that separates the lower regions of hell with the greater regions of heaven. Abraham's bosom, we call it. It's the place before Jesus went to the cross, before he purged the heavenlies, where those who died, who were righteous, they'd spend this time until Jesus Christ finally purged the heavens after he went to the cross. But Abraham says there's a space, a great gulf. Watch this. Fixed. It ain't going anywhere. Watch this. So that those who want to pass from here to you cannot. So Lazarus can't come to you. But here's the worst news. Nor can those from there pass to us. Which, watch this. That means the old rich man could see glory. He could see heaven. He could see paradise. And must live eternally with the agony of I can see it, but I can't get there. I heard them preach about streets of gold. I heard them preach about the land that we'd never grow old. I heard them preach about the houses. I heard them preach about it, but I can see it. But I can't get there. I want you to imagine the eternal agony of being able to see what you could have had. But you refused. Now let me wind to the end here. Now, this rich man begs for Lazarus to go and evangelize his family. He turns into an intercessor. Are you still with me? Luke 16, 27, 28. Look at what it says. Then he said, I beg you. Now who's begging? Lazarus was the beggar. But now the how the tables have turned. Oh, how the script has flipped. Now the one who was mean, nasty, cantankerous, not compassionate. Now he finds himself, first of all, begging for water. Help me. Once he realizes that he can't be helped. Now watch how he begs. I beg you therefore, Father. Father. Which meant this was a Jewish man who had covenant rights. And he had his own righteousness. And didn't follow the righteousness that was of God. And so because of that, he recognizes, Father Abraham. He says, here's I beg you. Watch this. Y'all ready for this? Yeah. That you would send him to my father's house. Watch this memory. For I have five brothers. That he may testify to them. Watch this. Here it is. Lest they also come to this place of torment. He's begging for Lazarus to go and evangelize his family. Y'all better hear me. Now we know this man was wicked. He had a father's house and five brothers. Now they were typical family. They probably argued. They probably fussed. Like y'all. They probably cussed each other out. Like y'all. They probably fought. Like y'all. One of them probably said, you can just go to hell. Y'all better catch this. But now that the rich man is actually in hell. It's one thing to say when you're mad, you're angry, you're upset, you need a moment, and you can tell somebody to go to hell. But now that he's actually in hell, he realizes he don't want anybody to come. I apologize for saying that. I'm sorry I said that. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to have to go through this. I'm sorry. I cussed and fussed and fought. I'm sorry about it because I don't want you to go to this place of torment. Now that he's in hell, he's begging, Lord, please don't let my family go to hell. Not even my worst enemies. I want you to hear me on this. Lord, my brother owes me money and he's avoiding me. But Lord, don't let him go to hell. My God. I just want to bowl down somebody's street. Lord, I can't stand my cousin. None of her bad children. But Lord, don't let my family. I'm trying to find somebody in this place. See, because what happens is many times you and I, we can get angry, upset, and disconnect from our families, and our hearts become cold. Our hearts become hardened by our anger. And we become wrathful and vengeful. And disconnect and cut folk off. Don't want anything to do with them the rest of their lives. But at the end of the day, that's still somebody shouted, that's still my family. And I don't want my family as ratchet as they are. I don't want my family as raggedy as they are. I don't care. I don't want my family as trifling as they are. I don't want my family to go to hell. anybody got a trifling family, any ratchet family, any raggedy, any old, or just toe up, wrecked up family members in your life, and you ain't talk to them and you don't want to see them. If you don't see them the rest of your life, that'll be just fine. But at the end of the day, I don't want my family. So-and-so stole jewelry from my mama. I see him, I'm going to kill him, but if I kill him, don't let him go to hell. Am I talking to anybody in this place today? You want to kill him yourself, but Lord, when I kill him, don't let him go to hell. Let me lead him to Jesus first, then kill him. Are you saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost, filled, fire by tie? You believe Jesus? Nah, kill him, I'm going to kill you. Because I don't want you to go to hell. I just want you out of my life. Y'all ain't talking to me. Y'all talking like I ain't saying anything true. There are some family members you might even want completely out of your life. Y'all quiet on this side. But at the end of the day, I don't want them to go to hell. I'm done. Lord, my son's is out there in the streets. He's slanging, he's serving. Embarrassing. Lord, let him go to jail. Oh, y'all didn't say anything. Some of y'all need to pray that for your son. Go to jail. Y'all quiet because you don't want to pay that. I said some of y'all need to pray that for your son. Go to jail. Because for some of them, jail might be the only thing that saves their lives. Because they keep going away, they're going up in the streets, they might get killed unsaved. Y'all quiet. Y'all like y'all don't have no crazy family members. But Lord, my son is out here acting a fool. Let him go to jail. But Lord, please don't let my son go to hell. He goes to jail, he can come out. What if he goes to hell? It's over. My daughter's out here being nasty. Let her get pregnant, let her get a disease. Let her ruin her life. But don't let her go to hell. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Sometimes you and I are blocking our children's salvation because we keep rescuing them. We are blocking their salvation because we keep rescuing. We keep helping them when God's trying to get to them, but you keep blocking them with your love. But you pray for them to be saved. Get out of the way. I said it too fast. I said you pray for them to be saved. Now get out of the way. Stop saving them. Stop rescuing. Stop helping them. Let the Lord get to them. Let the Lord deal with them so they won't go to hell. Thank you, God. Thank you. Didn't the Bible say in 1 Corinthians 5 about that young man who got caught up in fornication? And the Bible says, Paul said, turn him over to Satan for the affliction of the flesh so that his soul can be saved. In other words, that young man had gotten into fornication, doing some really raunchy stuff. And Paul said, put him out of the church. Don't welcome him in your meetings. Now we got to show love. No, put him out so he recognizes he's in sin. He said, let the devil afflict his flesh. Let the devil give him syphilis and AIDS and HIV. Let the devil put it on him from the rooter to the tooter. Let the devil put it on him so that it may save his soul. Because you can go to heaven with syphilis. Y'all quiet up here. I'd rather them go to heaven with HIV than to go to hell and clean as a board of health. Y'all quiet. I'm checking some of y'all. Some of y'all are blocking your kids' salvation. I'm gonna just say it like that, and I'm gonna keep it pimping. Watch this.
Come on. This man realized it was too late for him. His deal was sealed. His judgment was set. It was eternal. There's no hope for him. And he said, but I don't want my brothers. I might have can't stand them. They might have taken money from me. They might have done me dirty. He might have had five jealous brothers who couldn't stand the fact he had all that money. Because the brothers were still in the father's house. He's got his own big gated mansion. But he said, I don't like them, but I don't want them to come here. And it's too late for me. But Ecclesiastes 9 verse 4, you got to hear this. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 4 in the easy to read version. Listen to what it says. There is hope for those who are still alive. It does not matter who they are. There is hope for those who are still alive. It does not matter who they are. There is hope. My son is so bad off. Is he still alive? Yes, there is hope. Lord, my daughter, she got way out there, way out there. Is she still alive? Yes, she's still alive. Well, there is hope. Lord, I thought I taught my children right. I don't know why they acting like that. I didn't raise them like that. Are they still alive? Yes. Well, there's still hope. Yeah, but you don't understand. My boy, he in prison. And he going to be in prison the rest of his life. Is he still alive in prison? Yes. Well, there's still hope no matter who they are. They could be the worst dealer, pusher, the worst addict, the biggest prostitute, rapist, murderers. Come on, somebody. If they're alive, there's still hope. In this room today, there may be somebody in this place, you out there. Maybe you're out there, maybe you're real close. I preached a few weeks ago on the danger of being too close. Sometimes you can be so close and you think you're there, but you're not there, because this man who called Abraham father, that meant that he was a Jew who probably kept the law, but he didn't have the law in his heart. And somebody in this room today, the devil tries to tell you you're too far off. Baby, you've done too much. Ain't nothing the Lord can do for you. You're too wrapped up, and nothing the Lord can do for you. The devil is a liar. If you're still alive, there is hope. How do I know? Because he saved me. Do I have a witness on that? To this day, I thank God upon every remembrance that when I was out there doing the dirty stuff, I had a guy tell me the other day, I ran into a friend of mine who used to live here and in Jacksonville. He said, John, you always been the most upstanding guy I know. And I said, praise God. Inside I'm thinking, boy, you don't even know. You don't even know the dirt I was doing. But if God can save me, he can save you, so that you don't have to go to hell. Jesus went to Calvary's cross, suffered a sinner's suffering, and died a sinner's death. The Bible says he took upon himself the sins of the whole world. to the point that his body became so contorted, so twisted. The Bible says he was marred beyond any man. He was unrecognizable because he took all of our sins. Remember, all disease comes from sin originally. So imagine when he takes all of our sin, how disease ravaged his body instantly. And after that horrible death, went into hell. 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the earth in hell. And he suffered the worst possible situation, the torment, the torture of hell. But God didn't leave his soul there. God raised him from the dead. And this is what the Bible says. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. And that person today in this room who's saying, okay, sir, I hear you. I don't want to go to hell myself. I know I got family and friends, but I don't want to go to hell myself. And I'm not sure about my eternal future. And you say, I want to get that right today. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet. I want to pray for you. This room, I want to pray for you. I see you. Somebody else, I see you. I see you. Come on, somebody else, I see you. You say, I'm not sure about my future. I want to get it right today. I'm not going to risk going to hell. Hell is real. It's a real place. I'm not going to risk it. I'm not going to chance it. I'm not going to take a chance of my eternity. I want to make sure I'm saved. Somebody else in this place today, I want you to come. Those of you that stood, I want you to please come to this altar. There's somebody here waiting to pray for you. They're waiting to pray for you. They're waiting to pray with you. I want you to come quickly. Come on. Come on, come to this altar. Come on, they're coming. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Come on, come on. Come on. If you're scared, grab somebody. They'll come with you. If you're scared, you say, I'm not sure. Hey, grab somebody. They will walk with you to this altar. I guarantee you. We want you saved. We want to make sure your eternity is sealed with Jesus Christ. Come on, whoever you are, I want you to come. I want you to come to this altar. I want to make sure. Come on. I'm grateful. I'm proud of you. Pastor, I'm not sure. I want to make sure today. I'm not going to risk dying and going to hell. I can't risk it. There's too much at stake. I'm not going to risk it. I need to come. I need to come. I need to come. I need to come. Come on. Somebody next to you. Somebody next to you. They need to come. They're feeling that bug on the inside of them. Come on. I want you to check them. Come on, make sure that person is ready. I want you to check that neighbor next to you. Check that neighbor next to you. Ask him, are you ready? Are you sure? Hell is real. Eternity is real. Hell is hot. Eternity is too long. Come on, I don't want you to be so close and not make it. I don't want you to be a church member and take the church bus all the way to hell. I don't want you to be a church member going to hell. I want you to know for sure within yourself, you are born again. You are born again. You are a new creature. Come on, I'm going to give one more minute. This is it, because I got to move on. I'm going to give one more minute. If you know you need to be in this altar, I want you to come now. I want you to come now. I want you to beat the devil over the head and come right now. Don't let the devil hold you. I want you to come right now. I want to be sure. I want to make sure I got this on lock. I want to have my eternity on lock. I want my eternity on lock. I want my eternity on lock. Come on. Chris, you bringing Jermaine? You brought Jermaine. Yeah, good, good. Chris already saved. He brought Jermaine. He said, I need my family saved. I don't want my family to go to hell. I don't want my family going to hell. I need everybody saved. I want to be sure. I can't risk it. I can't risk it. I got to get eternity on lockdown. I got to get eternity on lock. I can't play around. I'm not going to play around with my future. I'm not going to play around with my life. I'm not going to play with my eternity. I must be saved. I must be born again. I must be born again. Not only do I not want to go to hell, but any man who will lay down his life, any man who will go through what he went through for me, I want to give him my life. I want to serve him. Any man who will live and die and go to hell for me, I want to meet him. I want to meet that man. And I want to spend eternity with that kind of man who would give everything for me. Now we're going to pray. All those who are here to be saved, I want you to turn around and face me, please. I want you to turn around and face me. I want to make sure I got an altar worker with every one of them. Altar worker with every one of them. Come on. I need all my altar workers. Quickly, quickly. Y'all are moving too slow. Altar workers, every one of them right now. Every one of them right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got people doubling up. I don't need people doubling up. Come on, where are the rest of my altar workers? Where are you? Where are you? Come on. Jump in, Pastor Kim. Thank you. We're going to pray this prayer. I cannot articulate to you how proud I am of you for taking this big, bold step. And how happy I am for you, because your life is about to take a sudden, drastic turn for the better. Jesus came and died. Come on, baby. Come on. Come on. Come on. Jesus came to this earth and died for every one of you, every one of us. And I want to tell you a secret. This is just between me and you. If you had been the only person on this planet, he would have come and done it all just for you by yourself. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. Come on, baby. Come on. Come on. We'll make room. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Keep, stay up a little while. You can pray with him. Come on. We take all the help we can get. There's a spiritual transaction happening right now. God is doing something in the lives of people. God loves you so much. The Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'm going to pray this prayer, and I want all of you that are here to simply repeat this prayer after me. It's not hard. God's not going to make you do all kind of crazy stuff. You know, sometimes men and women, when we start dating folk, we kind of beat people to the test and all that kind of stuff. Jesus ain't like that. He already knew we were raggedy. He already knew we were raggedy. Am I right about that? He knew, man, I was raggedy. And he said, I love you anyway. I love you anyway. Now, everybody in this room, I want everybody to pray this prayer out loud. We're going to join with them. If you're out there, you already been saved, we're going to get saved all over again today. Every time I give altar call, I get saved again. I just want to, Lord, just do it again. I pray this prayer. Say, dear God, in the name of Jesus, I come to you now in need of a Savior. I don't deserve anything you've done. You're so good to me. You sent Jesus Christ, your only son, to die on the cross for me. I didn't deserve it. I don't deserve it now. But I thank you for the free gift of salvation. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, make me brand new. I believe Jesus died, and I believe you raised him again. I confess. I say with my own mouth that from this day forward, Jesus is my Lord. I surrender to Jesus. Now, Father, my Father, I don't know what all this means. All I know is I receive you and you receive me. Teach me how to live for you. Teach me how to serve you. Teach me how to walk right. Teach me how to love everybody. Fill me with joy. Fill me with peace. Fill me with love. And my Father, I promise. Y'all listen to this very carefully. I want you to say this with all your heart. My Father, I promise. If I mess up, when I mess up, I won't run from you. I'll run to you. You love me already. So if I mess up, You're going to keep loving me. You're going to keep loving me. Thank you for a brand new life. Thank you for a clean record. My old life is gone. I'm made brand new. Thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, y'all, hug them. Come on, hug them, hug them, hug them. Come on, show them that love. Welcome them into the family of God. Welcome them into the family of God. Welcome them into the family of God. Come on, welcome them into the family of God. The Bible says all of heaven is rejoicing. Come on, don't let them leave. Just stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Give me just one moment. One moment. One moment. Who's my connection? Is it you? Okay. Thank you. I meant to help you up there. Listen to me. After service, I got to say, because we normally do this right now. I want you to follow this young lady. She's going to get your information. You're like, if you go to a hospital and somebody has a newborn baby, that baby's in the hospital, you got to get a birth certificate. And then you got to go through, natal care and all that kind of stuff. And we want to walk with you and show you how to live this life. You just started in a brand new life that you don't know anything about, just like we didn't know anything about it. It takes time to kind of learn. And you know what babies do? They poop and they fall and they mess up. But that's still my baby. So you're going to poop, you're going to fall, you're going to mess up, but you're still God's baby. He loves you. He loves you. And guess what? As your family, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you more than you can ever understand how much we love you. So Miss Lincoln's going to get your information. Make sure you get that. Listen, we're going to be baptizing. I want to invite you to baptize. We're going to be here Easter Sunday. That's March 31st. We just baptized last Sunday. We baptized like 14 people last Sunday. I want to get all y'all baptized on Easter Sunday. We're doing Easter Sunday outside. We got a big tent. We're doing outside. Ain't nobody, don't dress up. We're going to be chill out on that Sunday, okay? And we're going to baptize. I want to baptize every one of you. So she'll get you all set up for that. So you see that face? That's the face you want to follow. Lamika, stand over here for me, please, to my left. She's going to be standing right here to my left as soon as the service is over, and she'll help you, okay? Amen? You may return to your seats and just be ready. As soon as we finish, she's going to take you, okay? Give me 2 more minutes. I need ushers with cards. Ushers with the cards real quick. Ushers with those cards real quick. Come on. Index cards real quick. Here's the last thing we're going to do. It's late. It's late. I'm past my time. I'm trying to be out before 1 o'clock, but we missed it. Just forgive me. Listen, that rich man began to intercede for his brothers. If there's somebody in your family, you may hate their guts right now, but you don't want them to go to hell. They're passing out index cards. I want you to write names down right now of those individuals that you say, God, don't let my family go to hell. Pass them out. Come on. Y'all need more help? We need more help. We need more help. We need more help. We need more help. Get those cards out to everybody. Come on. Come on. We all have family members that we want God to save. We don't want them to go to hell. If you need a pen, ushers have pens as well. We have pens as well. Just write down some names on that paper. If you have family members, you say, Pastor, I don't want my family to go to hell. Lord, please don't let my family go to hell. Some of them are real close to you. You love them. You spend time with them. Some of them you're disconnected from, estranged, we call it. But I don't want my family going to hell. Come on, I'm gonna give you 3 minutes. Just write names real quick. And I'm gonna get those offering baskets set up again. Deacons, ushers, I'm gonna need offering baskets. We're not gonna take an offering. You're gonna place those cards in those baskets, okay? You're gonna place those cards in those baskets. So if I can have two ushers again standing on the outside aisles, 2 deacons standing up here. It's like we did with the offering. When you have those names ready, if you just pass it down, you can pass it down to the outside aisle if you want to, and they'll get it to that person, that usher that's closest to you, deacons in front of us. Just you can fold them in half, leave them open, doesn't make me a difference. I'm going to collect those very quickly. Come on. That cousin, you hadn't seen them since the last family reunion, they got on your nerves. Some of you just got born again. You got family. You say, I want my family to be saved too. I can't be saved by myself.
Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. That's love.
Okay, they have those names in the back. Quickly, quickly, quickly. We got them all. Ushers, when you have those names, bring them up here to the front, please. And dump them into the other baskets, please. Put them all together. Isn't this great that we don't have to be in hell doing this, saying, Lord, send them to my brothers in my family house? No, we're still alive and saying, Lord, I want them. We're interceding now. This is what intercession is. Sometimes family can just straight, I know this is not a good faith word. We say in the world, get on your nerves. No, we don't say that. We don't let anybody get on our last nerves, right? But sometimes they can irritate us. We say it that way. They can irritate us. But as irritating as they may be, I don't want them to go to hell. No. Mm-mm. As irritating as they may be, I don't want them to go to hell. You might can't stand them because they're arrogant and conceited, think they all that. Let them lose their house, but Lord, don't let them go to hell. Don't let them go to hell. Let them lose that old fancy, smancy job and make them think they all that. But Lord, don't let them go to hell. You got it? Okay. You have room to put all that in there? Just smush it down in there. Pastor Kim, come. Stretch your hands this way. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe I've given the people the word that you gave me for them today. As we have written these names, we commend these, our family members, to you. God, Jesus knows how rough it is with family. His own brothers didn't receive him. His own brothers didn't believe him. They thought he was out of his mind. But yet he loved them so much. He said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. He loved his family. He died for his family. Today we lay down our own lives for our family. We lay down our anger and resentment and bitterness, unforgiveness. No matter what's gotten in the way of our intercession for them, we lay it all down because at the end of the day, we don't want our family to die and go to hell. Father, you know where they are. We ask you, Lord, to locate them in their hearts. Give them a revelation of you. Give them, Lord, appear to them. Show them who you are. Father, we ask you today to send for the laborers into the harvest. There's somebody, if they won't listen to us, there's somebody they will hear. There's somebody they'll receive. There's somebody that they will respect. As much as we've tried to share the gospel and they reject us, God, send them someone who they will receive. And we pray that, Father, as we commend these names to you, Father, these ones, we'll begin to see them and hear them one by one calling, one by one texting, one by one emailing, one by one showing up and saying, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Or I got saved today, God. We want them to come, 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 come. You said in your word that we and our households will be saved. So we command children to be saved. We command sons and daughters to be saved. We command brothers and sisters to be saved. We command our husbands and wives to be saved. Even our fathers and mothers and our uncles and aunts and grandparents and whoever it is, God, to be saved. All of them that are far off. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, when we meet together with you in the air, we won't have the sorrow. You said there'll be no crying in heaven. We don't want to even think about having the sorrow of not seeing our loved ones there with you. So we call them in. We call them in. Come out of darkness into the marvelous light. Be saved from this untoward generation. We command it to be so. We thank you, Father. You said it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So thank you that they will all come to repentance. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you all to, Pauline, if you all will please put these in a pouch. We'll keep these in prayer when we meet on Wednesdays, and pray over these names and believe God to see these people come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, you stay here, honey. We're getting ready to be dismissed. Praise God. Again, those of you who just got born again today, I'm so happy for you. Why don't we give them a big hand today? The Bible says all of heaven it rejoices at just one. So there's a big party going on in heaven right now for those who know Jesus Christ. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there are times when ministry and pastoring gets so rough, so heavy, I feel like, why am I doing this? I want to quit. But if one person gets saved, it makes my living worth it all. It means everything to me. So happy. Those of you that just got born again, we have a whole team ready to help you this afternoon. They're going to help you. So if you don't mind gathering your things very quickly, those who just got born again, and those of you you're visiting with our church today, you're a guest, and you're looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to link up somewhere like this. If it's not here, God will show you someplace like this. We're not the only place in this city like this. But you need to be in a place like this that's alive, where the word is alive, where the spirit is alive, the people are alive. And I highly recommend this particular location to you. Amen. Again, those of you that are new guests or you're new believers or looking to become a part of our church family, if you just grab your things now, they're going to take you out there real now down a hallway to it. We got a torture chamber on the other side. They're going to torture you and whip you and beat you and all that kind of, no, I'm just joking. This is going to get your name and information. So if you'll just quickly, please grab your things and follow them. And that way, as soon as we close out, your family, they'll be ready to go all at the same time and go to Poe Folks, wherever you're going today. Praise God. I'm messing with Joe. They used to have all you can eat chicken.